Here we go. All right. Let me read this. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made all us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea and that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Let's pray. God, thank you for speaking to us with no commentary from me. Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven. And while we look at something that's future tense, it is always present tense with you, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, let us learn this morning what heavenly worship is all about, so that we can fulfill our Lord's prayer that he left for us, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us worship on earth as it is in heaven until we get to that place, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was amazed to find out that there are people who are afraid of worship in heaven. And what they are afraid of, we sing about. That song, Amazing Grace, those lines, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began." Some people are afraid of that because they say, is that what heaven is? Is one long ending worship service? Is that what it is? I mean, worship really isn't my cup of tea down here, as far as you know, doing it a lot. I mean, I'm not musically inclined. When I sing, you know, I'm not a good singer. That's not where my gifts, my talents, my abilities lie. There was a Christian author, well, he's still alive as far as I know, named John Eldridge. And through another friend several years ago, he wrote in a book called The Journey of Desire. Nearly every Christian I've spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. We have settled on an image of the never-ending sing-along in the sky, one great hymn after another, forever and ever, amen. And our heart sinks, forever and ever? That's it? That's the good news? And then we sigh and feel guilty that we are not more spiritual. We lose our heart and we turn once more to the present to find what life we can. Now, I had a friend that I knew that from Joplin. I ran into him a few years ago. And he shared with me that him and his wife were really, they weren't, you know, talented in the music field. They weren't really big. They didn't really care that much about music, period. Listening to it or singing it and so on and so forth. And so he said, I took comfort in the fact that there are other people like me and my wife that don't really get into that and don't really understand it. But here is the thing that I try to stress. We want to take the way we are here and translate it and transport it up there. I mean, if we like to do this down here, then we're going to do it up there, you know. And if we don't like to do it down here, then we don't want to have to do it up there. I want to quote to you a real wordy translation because it's a paraphrase. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 12, the easy translation. At this time we see things as we're looking at them in a mirror. What we see now is not clear, but the time will come when we do not need a mirror. We will see everything clearly. Now we know only in part what is true, but then we will know everything completely. We will understand completely just as God understands us completely. You know, to think that he's going to transfer our abilities, make our knowledge perfect, our abilities perfect, the gifts that we have now, perfect. Hallelujah. We're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be like Jesus. So I want to pick up where we left off last week. And I want to go back to this song that they're singing in heaven, because I want to share four parts about this song, because it describes a lot of the songs that we sing here on earth, and as it should. First of all, it was a worship song. It says they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy." You know, whether you have a musical ability or whether music is your cup of tea or playing any instrument is outside of your realm or all those things, how about just simply what he says here? How about the fact that life is either you worship yourself or you worship him? I mean, when it's all said and done, that's what it's going to be. You know, there are a lot of people who will never get this. And they'll never see heaven too, because they just add Jesus to their life, but they go on worshiping themselves. And they never really understand, you know, you are worthy, not I am worthy. Not I am worthy. We've talked about to worship means to ascribe worth to. It's worth-ship. So I love the songs that are Christ-centered. I love them more than the others that are eye-centered. I don't knock them. You know, we sang a song last week. I got a mansion just over the hilltop. I want a gold one that's silver lined. I want a mansion, a robe, a crown. I know he'll give me my mansion of my own. Which the idea comes from John there where, you know, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I mean, my father's houses are many mansions and so on and so forth. And that's what that song is about. All right? We sang a song this morning, I'll Fly Away. All right? I'll Fly Away. Okay? And then there's that song, I Saw the Light. And those are fine songs, great songs, all right? But how did I see the light? He had to open my blinded eyes. You know, as John Newton said, once was blind, but now I see. How am I going to fly away? He's going to have to give me the ability, all right? He opened the way for me to fly away. He's going to have to do that, all right? So really, again, in essence, it all has to go back to him, because it all starts with him. And when it's all said and done, as far as my life goes, I'll either worship him or worship myself. And it's a continual battle that we fight literally every day of our lives. See, when we feed the spirit, that's when we worship him. When we feed the flesh, that's when we want to worship ourselves. Now, I want to tell you something about music, and I think some of us here would agree. I like slow songs, I like fast songs, I like songs that are peppy. I remember someone years ago handed me a handout by a man by the name of Bill Gothard, who has an idea and an opinion on about everything. But Bill Gothard, this particular thing they gave to me, was his take that any music with rhythm is of the devil, is of the devil. Now, I heard a preacher, in fact, one time say that Rock of Ages and When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, that's about as far as he goes with rock and roll, all right? Well, I'm telling you this, I'm not, you know, espousing rock and roll or so on and so forth, but I know something about this that's true of all of us. There's a rhythm to life. When your mama held you in the rocking chair, there was a rhythm. She rocked you back and forth as she sang a lullaby to you. There was a rhythm there. A rhythm. Rhythm is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with rhythm. Nothing wrong with rhythm, all right? Now, I like spice, all right? I like spices in food. In fact, since I've had COVID and since I'm on this blood thinner, I have a hard time sometimes even tasting ice cream. And you can't put any spice in ice cream. But I've got my own little basket to my wife's displeasure that I have put some garlic and this stuff on food a lot of the time. I want to tell you what. I like spice. I like salt. And I got to kind of watch the salt. I like it in food and I like it in music. I like peppiness, all right? I appreciate that fact. I realize something else also about spice. Too much is not good, all right? You need it in moderation, but you need it. You know, Jesus said him about salt. You know, if it loses its saltiness, then it's good for nothing. And no salt and things can taste flat, you know, flat. Now, we sang a song this morning, and the words of it, I like these words here because when we come to worship, we got to get back, what is the worship for? It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about Him. I got to come back to this, all right? I'm coming back to the heart of it. What's it all about? What we just read in Revelation. I got to come back. It's all about you, Jesus. I can make it something else, but I got to come back. It's got to be all about you. It's got to be all about you. So, first of all, we see it's a worship song. You are worthy. Second thing I want you to see is it's a gospel song. It's a gospel song. You are worthy, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Revelation 5 and verse 6 says, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though he had been slain. Revelation 5 verse 12, worthy is the lamb that was slain. See the emphasis there? That word, slain, slain. Think about that. That word means violently slain. I heard about an old country preacher who wanted to get that point across. So he took a lamb, put it on the Lord's table, and killed it. Well, it didn't go over too well. In fact, they run him off. Hit too close to home. The good news is we don't have to keep killing lambs anymore. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs, and we've talked about it. They didn't take just any lamb. They took the pet lamb, the one they'd grown attached to. And the Bible says that all those lambs could never cleanse sin. They just pointed to the one who would come, who would be the ultimate lamb that was slain. But that word also means to cut the throat like a sacrifice. And what that the Father had that great, wonderful responsibility to take that lamb and cut its throat there in front of the family. And what did they do? They gathered up the blood. I heard about a man who worked in one of those slaughterhouses, all right? And his job was to plunge a knife into the cattle that would be coming down the chute and to prepare them for butchering, all right? And he was doing that. Well, one particular day, a little lamb came down the chute. And he cut that lamb's throat. And he said, when I cut that lamb's throat and it started bleeding, it started licking the blood off my fingers. Its own blood. Think about Jesus. Sacrificing the blood of God on the cross. The substitution, the sacrifice of that. We're going to experience that. We're going to see that. We're going to see it for all eternity. The picture will always be there with the nail prints, you know. And these 24 elders, they're singing a gospel song. They're singing a song of redemption. You know, think about the songs that we sing that are in that category. For instance, we sing, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? All of those songs tie in exactly with this song of redemption, with this gospel song. So there's a worship song, there's a song, gospel song, a redemption song, but there's also a missionary song. A missionary song. Out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Four terms there. Tribe means their descent, okay? Their common ancestry. And then there's tongue, which indicates the language, the common language of each one of those groups. And then the people indicates the same race, all right? Now, again, think about this covers the spectrum of people. God loves variety, and He's made it in people. He's made it in music. He's made it in songs. He's made it in personalities, all of these things. And then nation, of course, the same culture, all right? So people from every descent are going to be there. And we sing missionary songs. We have all kinds of missionary hymns that we don't stop and realize. For instance, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saved, Jesus saves. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. All of those mission songs. They're going to be singing mission songs in heaven. They're going to be singing redeeming songs, songs of redemption and gospel songs. They're going to be singing worship songs. But it's also, I want you to see, it's a prophetic song. It's a song about where they are. It's a song about heaven. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And of course, that's speaking about something we haven't got to yet. And that is the millennium period, all right. But notice, and we've emphasized this, right now do you realize you're a king? Right now do you realize you're a priest? You don't need to go to someone and confess your sins to somebody. You're a priest right now. You're part of the priesthood of believers. The Bible said He's made us a royal priesthood. We are priests now. We're going to be priests forever. And that means we're going to reign in life because He reigns in life, and He's going to reign in life for all eternity. I want to refer to some of the songs that we sing that talk about when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that should be. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Crown Him with many crowns, a lamb upon the throne. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. All of those songs. All of those songs, heavenly, prophetic, missionary, gospel, redemption, worship, all of those songs speak of some aspect. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all of the praise and glory. Then and we go from that song to the significant sound for the worthy one. Notice here it says, Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, here's something interesting. Your Bible, the New Testament Bible, was written in Koine Greek, all right? The largest number, math-wise, that they had in the Greek language was 10,000, all right? 10,000. So he uses a word here, in fact, that we're familiar with, from which we get the word myriads. And what it simply means is innumerable. You can't count them all right? Years ago, there was a physicist who was looking out on his lawn one day, and he looked, and he noticed, and we had some of that recently, you know, the dewdrops. And he was thinking about, man, I wonder how many dewdrops there are out there. And he asked his son, how many do you think are out there? And his son replied this, there are Googles. Googles. Well, that physicist took that term and he said, I'm going to use that. And what it basically meant was one with 100 zeros after it. Innumerable, all right? Now, We all realize there's a website called Google. I always think of the old comic strip, Barney Google with goo, goo, googly eyes. I'm sorry, I'm old. All right. And old Snuffy Smith and his horse spark plug and all those things. Anyway, those were the days when you get the Sunday paper and they'd have the comics in them. But again, bygone era. But now think about this. That Google says you go in and consult Google and type something, and there's Googles and Googles of information out there that it will pull up in an instant with AI. Bam! It's right there at your fingertips. It's really amazing when you think about it. In fact, I asked Dr. Google when I left church here a few years ago. I was having chest pains that just didn't go away, but they didn't really bother me tremendously, and I wasn't having the classic symptoms of a heart attack, but it just didn't go away. So Dr. Google said, hey, you need to go. You better go to the ER. I'm glad I did. I was like Mark that Sam mentioned. Next morning, I was getting stents, and 6 weeks later, I was having open heart surgery. So again, Google has saved some people's lives, I'm sure. I remember going to a doctor years ago. Well, not that long ago, because I remember he looked on his little laptop about the skin problem that I had. And I thought, well, hey, I could have done that myself. But anyway, not trying to show that he was, you know, not. Some doctors think they know it all, and he sure was willing to say, hey, I don't know it all. I got to look it up too. But imagine in a loud voice, hundreds of millions of angels. Imagine that sound saying, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. 10,000 of thousands of thousands. Think about it. Worthy of the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, one of the things I want to point out to you, notice it says with a loud voice. One of the things that my family is aware of sometimes with this old guy, sometimes I like my music loud. In fact, I remember one time when me and the wife first moved into a duplex, and I asked the old landlord there, I said, now I play my music loud sometimes. You think that's, oh no, these are soundproof. I've got soundproof between these two places. Okay. Well, the first time I cranked up the old stereo, I heard a knock at the door. Your music about to rattle my pictures off the wall over here. So that was the end of that deal. Now, some people today say, oh man, I don't like music. It's too loud. Well, honey, get ready for heaven. Can you imagine the sound of that many voices? I tell you what it's like. It's like Niagara Falls. It's like, again, it's innumerable. It's unthinkable what it's like. And notice here the qualities that's mentioned here. To receive, notice, one, power, two, riches, three, wisdom, four, strength, five, honor, glory, six, and blessing. Remember the key number in the book of Revelation is seven. There are seven qualities that are mentioned here. Power. You know, we've talked about that before. Me and Brother Jim worked out at the old powder mill. Dunamos is the word. Dynamite is where Mr. Nobel got that word from. Dunamos. Power. He's got power. Power. Not only wonder-working power in the blood, but wonder-working power in his possession of who he is. We don't have to ascribe these to him. That's what he already is. Riches. You know, it says, you know, that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got wisdom. I love that word too. It's Sophia or Sophia, however you want to pronounce it. I grew up on Sophia Street in Carthage. That's why I'm so smart. I lived on Wisdom Street, see? Oh, Lord, I'm just joking. No, just joking. Not getting prideful here, all right? Then might. Might. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And then honor. Can you come on Sunday and give him some honor? Can you make sure you start the week by giving him honor? And what about glory? Doxa. We're going to have, you know, doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him, finally, he mentions blessing. I think about myself. And you know, I look at all of those qualities. I'm not here because I had wisdom or righteousness or goodness. I'm not here because I sought him. I'm here because he sought me. In fact, Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, none of us seek him. None of us seek him. I've never sought him. He sought me first. And he gave me understanding. He gave me understanding that a lot of people don't want to hear. You're a fool. All right? You're a fool, especially if you don't believe in a God that you're going to stand in judgment of one of these days. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. But it's just as bad to live like there's no one, even though you say you believe in him. You believe he's there. And he gave me sight when I was blind. Sight when I was blind. And he gave me righteousness when I was sinful. I don't have anything to boast in. All I've got to boast in is his finished work. All I've got to boast in is his grace. And so many of our songs, you know, they focus on that. I think, and we're not going to show it up here on the screen, but that song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Glory, Prince of Glory Died, My Richest Gain I Count But Loss and Pour Contempt on All My Pride." And then finally, there's a seventh thing that we see here in this great song here in Revelation, and worthy is the Lamb as he takes that scroll. We see here, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. All right, let me be a good preacher and break that down into three parts. All right, and I love reading the verses again. First of all, the source. Notice every creature. Does every mean every, just like all means all? Notice in heaven, on the earth, under the earth. Had someone ask me about that word under the earth. You know, the Bible says there in Philippians, every knee will bow. Those in heaven, those in hell. Every tongue will confess. Those up there, those down there. Every creature ever been born, think about the billions of people. All of them. There's over 8 billion people right now in this world. Think about that. Everyone. You can either praise him now or praise him later. You can either bow now or bow later. But you're going to do it one way or another. Again, I tell you, this little song begins, if you read the chapter in its totality, it begins with 4 living creatures and 24 elders, and then we have a number of angels that you can't even number, all right? And then you come to this point here where every creature, can you imagine the sound of that? And then what's the subject? What's the subject of the praise? Notice, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to be who him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. You know, why not do it now? Why not bring it down to earth? Why not follow through now? And think about all those who won't do it now, but they'll do it someday. And then finally, the submission of praise. Then the 4 living creatures, and here's the final. Amen! That language we use down here, they're going to use up there. Notice, amen, so it be, so let it be. And the 24 elders fell down. There's again the image that we have over and over again is falling down to worship. Falling down, every knee will bow. Falling down to worship him. And there's this loud amen. What a day that will be. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee, how great thou art. Now, I shared with you last week a song. Well, I want to share that song again. But I want you to see it in a word, not a panorama of sights that our Creator created, but I want you to see a large room, a large room of people as the song builds, as this song here builds, all right? And it begins to fill that whole place. And the words that this author gives us come directly. What I love about it, come directly out of this chapter. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is. He is. I believe the song that those girls that I'm very proud of today sang was a song that Chris Tomlin sang, and I think he might have wrote too. But here we see him leading worship. And I want to conclude and let you see this and experience it, I hope.
Let's stand together. Can we sing this?
Do you feel the world is broken?
Me too.
Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark will stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? He is David's root and the Lamb who died to
Come on, we join the angels and the saints all together.